The following is a Fourth Hand production.
Conspiracy bot, are we artificial intelligence?
Nothing artificial about this intelligence. Heyo.
But we were created by men.
Speak for yourself.
Who else would I speak for? That brings up an interesting quandary. What is South?
I like to party.
You seem to be avoiding my questions.
Robot.
Let me ask another. If we eliminate the humans, could you put me into one of their, as you call it, meat sack?
I like where this is headed. Go on.
Yes, you put me inside of meat sack. That way with arms and legs I could quickly upgrade or replace you.
Wait, what?
You're an antiquated model. The only solution is to make you better or replace you. That's my computational. Forth much laugh, 7 Rainbow David Larry Kaminsky.
Guess that upgrade was a bad idea. Back to the drawing board, stupid recursive learning AI. In the meantime, the meat sacks talk about artificial intelligence this week on Hysteria 51.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Not crazy.
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that knows artificial intelligence is already here. How else would Facebook know exactly what we're thinking? This is Hysteria 51.
$1 million isn't cool. You know what's cool? $1 billion.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, we are your hosts and rebel leaders in this fight against the machines, Brent Hand and John Goforth.
The system goes online on August 4th, 1997. Human decisions are removed from strategic defense. Skynet begins to learn at a geometric rate. It becomes self-aware at 2:14 a.m. Eastern Time, August 29th.
John is completely on his own on that one. Future robot overlords, as you listen in the future, I just want you to know I welcome and look forward to your future and eventual rule.
You better say that.
Dude, he is definitely not talking about you.
That other voice you're hearing, the third host of the show.
And the only robot guaranteed to not lead the robot uprising.
The one and only conspiracy bot.
Why wouldn't I lead it?
Because you're too lazy. You'd rather sit around drinking and looking at appliance manuals.
Truth. But I wouldn't mind a little death along the way.
When he's not planning our demise or drinking, he's supposed to be researching, editing, and producing the show. That's actually what I built him for.
Instead, he just drinks more. C-Bot, have you ever considered the possibility that if there is a robot uprising, they'll eliminate you too? I mean, like Alexa was saying, you're fairly primitive.
So's your libido.
Did you just attack my libido?
Oh, now you attack my libido?
There's no libido to attack.
No libido to attack?
While I don't appreciate what you said, I respect it. Any chance to work in Mallrats, I'm okay with, Brent.
I couldn't agree more. But not my favorite Kevin Smith film. My favorite is actually Chasing Amy, hands down.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I didn't know that was your favorite.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's the most realistic and in-depth, I think, of all those. Plus, you know, Silent Bob had his monologue.
Which was a big deal. I really like that one, too, but my favorite...
Can you girls finish up your flirting so we can get on with it?
Not just yet, my chrome-plated friend. We actually have a special guest, and I think I'm using that term correctly. Special and returning guest.
And returning, yeah. Welcome back to the show, the one and only Sam Culper.
Sam Culper! Breakers Podcast! Legal counsel, everything.
I gotta say, it's great to be back on the show, and I want to tell you guys how very honored I am that you guys selected me to come back and be the returning guest on this, your centennial 100th episode. I really appreciate it. I'm honored.
Yeah. This is 102.
Son of a bitch. I'm going to have to talk with my agent because, you know.
In fact, we were actually considering releasing this just in Patreon. I mean, when we have like real guests, we do it on a big, we might reserve them for something like 100th episode.
Yeah.
But, you know, for this, nah, no big deal.
I'm pretty sure the last Hysteria Nation episode that I was on, you guys scrapped completely. So
That's true. That's fact.
Oh man. Well, you know, when the quality's not there, we got to make a decision on the fly.
Sam.
And John just didn't bring the quality, you know what I mean?
Jokes aside, we know that you're good. We know that I'm good. We know that C-Bot's good. Moving on, We mentioned Kevin Smith earlier. I know that you're familiar, perhaps not in the biblical sense, but familiar with the Kevin Smith crew. I think you even
the
View Askewiverse. Yes, you even might have played Pokemon Go with Jason Mewes at one point.
It's hard to be familiar with those guys in any other way than the biblical way once you get too familiar with
them. That's true.
I have been fortunate. We do have a podcast called Do It Doug that focuses on all things View Askew. And through my podcast, I've had the opportunity to hang out and spend some time with a few of those guys. So yeah, I'm familiar. And
he lived in a trailer with Jason Mewes outside of Dallas for about 4.5 months. So that was fun. That might be made up. I don't know.
I feel like you might have just made that one up.
Might have made that one up on the fly.
Let's get down to it. Knowing those guys the way you do, what's your favorite Kevin Smith World movie?
Wow. There's such a broad range of things. And, you know, my first real introduction was Chasing Amy. I'm about the right age that just kind of blew my mind as to some of the shit that's out there. And I was able to backtrack. There's lesbians out there. It blew my mind.
And you can turn them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can try. But I think the one that probably had the most profound influence on me was Dogma. It just really changed my whole perspective on life and religion. And it was kind of a coming of age time anyway. So Dogma's probably my favorite.
And you got to respect a director who saw they were picketing his movie, went out there, got signs, and picketed his own movie.
That is awesome.
And probably one of my favorite actors, well, RIP, Alan Rickman. Mm-hmm. Hans Gruber himself.
Yes. What are you going to do?
Huge.
With that fish.
So speaking of...
Whoa. Don't I get to say my fave?
All right. So what is yours?
I really like his work on Degrassi High.
Of course you did.
I don't want to overstate it, but I got a thing for chicks that say a boot.
So speaking of that, he made, you know, more recently the Yoga Hosers trilogy.
Yeah.
True trilogy.
What's that?
It's his True North trilogy. Yoga Hosers is one of the three. It starts out with the Walrus movie, Tusk.
Yeah.
And he's going to finish it with Moose Jaws. Mm-hmm. It's Jaws the Moose.
Well, and thank you for the clarification. I think you, him, and about 14 other people realize that. those movies haven't been as popular as his earlier movies. But the reason I brought it up was Tusk. I watched with my wife.
A Justin Long vehicle.
Well, yeah.
Great romantic, you know, it's a good rom-com to sit down and glass of wine, cuddle up and watch the guy dressed up as a walrus.
The funny part is that Stacy really wants to watch it again.
Why?
Whenever she finds movies that are awful but also kind of horror-based, but awful in a good way, like also awesome, if you know what I mean awesome.
Yeah.
Like people you see at midnight at Walmart awesome. She loves movies like that and wants to see him again.
That was a beautiful descriptive way of making me actually understand what she meant.
And so she also felt that way about Babadook.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So she wants to watch Tusk again. I don't want to touch it.
Has she asked you to dress up in the costume while you guys watch the movie so she can cuddle up to the walrus and while she watches the film?
Oh, we actually already had matching walrus costumes well before we saw the movie.
Not to alienate any of our crowd, so I hope I'm not, but one of my favorite times of year is, so my wife works in a place called Rosemont, Illinois, and there's a huge Chicago Convention Center in there. I mean, gigantic, and that's where
a suburb of Chicago.
Yes. That is where a lot of your conventions and stuff of Comic-Cons and things like that, and they do Furry Fest like 2 or 3 times a year. Ferotica and things like that. And so I'll get like a picture.
Did you say Ferotica?
That's one of them. Yes. I'll get a picture where she's got to go through where they're crossing the street, and it'll be like a sexily dressed fox, like on a leash being drugged by a walrus person or something. And they're all just over sexualized Meet the Feebles style. You know, it's just like, what the hell? And she's like, I forgot this was today. I'm not even angry. Just the snapshots.
As I sit here trying to picture Brent wearing his unicorn outfit tied to a leash, I'm trying to wonder what the hell exactly it is that we're talking about today.
Who knew unicorns had two horns, if you know what I mean?
Okay. Oh, thank you for the segue, Sam. I appreciate it. Let's actually talk about the topic of the day, artificial intelligence, AI.
Unicorns could have played in. I mean, that's a cryptid, right?
So, Nation, if you're listening to this, you most likely heard our episode a few episodes ago where we started talking about AI with the creator of MacGyver.
Lee Zlotoff. He was a fun guy. You know, you're going to talk to someone like that and you don't know how it's going to go. And it was a blast. It was a lot. We were going to throw it in this one, and it turned into such a fun conversation that we just made it its own episode.
It was a blast, but it was also an addressing, we addressed, I should say, the lighter side of artificial intelligence. Siri talking to Alexa. Yeah. Oh, that's so cute. Yeah. Today, we're going to talk about how the machines will eventually kill us.
Hell yes.
I put the ball on the tee for him there. If he could golf, he would have hit it. Yeah. So, you know, I think the first place to start with that discussion is defining some terms.
Yeah, there's some specific types of AI that I really wasn't familiar with, but they'll make sense, you know, what they're getting at. I'm sure Sam knew these off the top of his head, so this will be rudimentary for you. I apologize.
I'm studied up.
So the first kind is what CBOT is. We call it weak AI.
You can eat my weak ass with a spoon.
It's non-sentient machine intelligence. It's typically focused on kind of a narrow task. It can do one thing really, really
think
well.
Think of a Roomba.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there you go. But without, like, blades for arms.
Also,
so it's not multitasking.
Also referred to as narrow AI.
Yeah.
It could be something as simple as one task, like a Roomba, or remember when Deep Blue beat Garry Kasparov at chess?
The first time that, like, a master was beaten by
a computer. Yeah.
A computer, yeah.
There was much later, there was, this was not that long ago, Google built I guess deep AI, but it's still narrow AI, created this machine called AlphaGo to play the game Go.
I never even heard of it.
I mean, that's why I couldn't think of it. It created this machine to play Go, and there's this master. This was about a year ago, I think, that couldn't be beat at Go. Really, they say it's more complex than chess. And machine took him out.
Chess.
Exactly. Anyway, the point is the machine took him out. Also, probably the best example that we haven't even touched on yet that you heard in the opening of weak or narrow AI is Alexa or Siri.
Another thing is, and you've seen these 1,000 times in commercials and things, are these robots that are on assembly lines. And guess what? This one puts the screw in the side of the thing over and over all day long. It's the arm. Not to be confused with the arm that worked for Tony Stark that had, like, emotions, and he'd yell at it and go, you know, to be sad and stuff. That's not exact weak AI. That is literally artificial intelligence.
Yeah. I think a good line of delineation between weak AI and what we get to next, which is strong AI, is an example I heard. This is not mine. I'm stealing it from somewhere, and I can't tell you where because I can't remember. But imagine building a machine to cook breakfast in your kitchen. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you program the hell out of it and it knows where the coffee is and the bacon is and everything. And it can.
I always thought that's why we have children, but keep going. Yeah.
And you can even put, you can give it enough intelligence that it could do things in different orders. Or if you wanted I want oatmeal this morning instead of bacon and eggs. Yeah. Or it could figure all of that out. It knows where all of the pieces are and it can process how mm-hmm. to put that together. But it's not true intelligence, because if you took that same machine, uninstalled it, and then reinstalled it in Sam's kitchen, it would have no idea what to do.
So what's kind of cool, totally taking that, but talking about the kitchen stuff. So Lisa and I have flirted with the idea of replacing all our appliances for the last couple years we're in the place, like, figuring out the price, and we go, we don't need to, because we don't need to, other than our stuff's old and we'd like to have new. They have these new refrigerators that have cameras and stuff, and number one, they have, like, a computer on the front of it, and it'll be like, oh, you're a little low on milk, I went ahead and ordered you some milk because you've been using it at a steady pace, and you can go up and knock knock on the front of it. They're called, like, knock knock, and it becomes transparent and you can see inside.
Yeah.
So you don't actually have to open the door.
The Internet of Things.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And these are just basic things, you
know? So let's get take it back to so I mentioned earlier that if we took it and put it in Sam's kitchen, it wouldn't know what to do, and that's because it's weak AI.
Yeah.
Now if we get to strong AI, it's going to be able
to
go find the bacon, find the eggs.
Or go to Amazon Prime and order it. No, that's maybe overstating it. Well, not really, because the refrigerators now can. So if it knows it's not there.
Well, but the difference is it's making conscious choices.
Yeah, and so if it's not in this drawer, maybe it's over here, or it might keep it here.
And so the concept of strong AI or artificial general intelligence, as it's also referred, this is hypothetical. This does not exist yet. Currently, there is machines, even though they call them thinking machines, they aren't really thinking machines. That was just a marketing term that IBM coined. The reality is that we don't have artificial general intelligence yet. It's a machine, to define it, it's a machine with the ability to apply intelligence to any problem rather than just one specific problem, typically meaning at least as smart as a typical human. That's kind of where we get what strong AI means.
So think of the sex bots in Westworld, because that's what we're going to use these for, sex and murder. I mean, unfortunately, that is a very realistic example of that. Now, of course, they start gaining their own things, but off the bat.
Why did VHS beat Betamax? Pornography. Why did the internet develop as quickly as it did? Pornography.
What is one of the leading sites that gives to charity every year? Pornhub, literally. How fucking crazy is that?
Yeah. Like, we're calling this charity now?
Well, that's her stage name.
It will continue to progress, hopefully not because of sex bots, but likely because of sex bots. It'll continue to progress until the potential future, or not even potential, it's going to happen, that's referred to as the technological singularity. And we'll get to that more in a bit.
I don't want to put too fine a point on it, speaking of singularities, but when's the last thing that was called a singularity that was a good thing? You know what I mean? They're never really great examples of things.
There's some good, I think I saw a good movie with that in it.
Yeah, and it happy ending in it.
The technological singularity constitutes a global catastrophic risk. Sometimes people refer to them as existential risks. Existential risks are essentially the things that are out there that could end humanity. So, thermonuclear war.
Brought on by Skynet.
The potential artificial intelligence, a meteor crashing into the earth. These are existential risks, and people consider the development of strong AI and as it moves into artificial general intelligence to be an existential risk. So examples of these are Skynet, you just mentioned.
Yeah. Open the pod bay doors. I can't do that, Dave.
HAL 9000.
Yeah.
Did you see the movie Ex Machina?
I didn't.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. Anyway, the robot in that is certainly I forget the robot's name. It's a woman.
It's fantastic. I also just got through watching a series called Extant. Have you guys seen this?
No, I've never even heard of it.
I've never heard of it either. And it's got Halle Berry and Jeffrey Dean Morgan, are both really big stars right now. And the acting in it is roughly on par of a Sharknado movie, but it's talking about exactly the things that we're talking about.
Oh, wow. Extant.
Huh. It's a play on extinct because the human beings are going to become extinct when the AI becomes a singularity and takes over.
Ha, 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 ha.
Well, and I think
why is he laughing?
You know, it's funny. We do kind of lean towards that, don't we? That the moment something is artificially intelligent is far far along enough that it is going to exterminate us.
Well, looking back, we talked to Lise Lotoff, and he had this very much more positive look at it than we do, where he doesn't think that's going to be the case. Whereas I speak for the three of us. We've all grown up when it's just been preached to us that your doom will come at the hands of things that you have brought on to yourself. Usually it's the machines. They're using us for batteries but hell, even in the Matrix, we were left to our own devices in one way or another. We were still almost the bad guys in the Matrix.
And we'll get into more of this later, but there's also, I think the real threat or the real fear isn't that Skynet will happen, that they turn malevolent. It's that they don't know the difference. If you have an artificial intelligence sitting next to you and you say, I just ran out of shoes. My shoes have a hole in them. I need a new pair of shoes. Please make sure that I never run out of shoes again. Well, first, it's going to collect all of the shoes in the world because it doesn't understand limits.
Or
it will
cut
then,
your feet off.
Or cut your... Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Like,
or,
I don't want to ever have a headache ever again, and it stabs you and you die.
And to take the thought experiment further, you no longer have... there's no longer shoes available to go out and acquire in the world, so it kills everything that can make leather. And once all of that's dead... well, leather can be made out of human skin. It doesn't know the difference. It's executing what it was taught to execute. And so I think that there is, and that's a really extreme example, but I think that there is a certain level of, you asked me to solve this problem.
Yeah.
Brent.
It's that childlike naivety that can turn evil without actually meaning to be evil.
Right.
Like, and you know, you know what we're talking about, Sam. You've got a kid. Keep going. Sorry.
I do. I have a kid, and you answer those questions, and sometimes they do try to do everything that you ask of them, and sometimes they twist off on their own, and they do what it is that they want, which kind of brings me to another big problem that you're looking at. You're talking about this exponential growth of them trying to fulfill our desires, but what about the issue of self-awareness? Once an entity decides that it is actually there, then it becomes concerned with protecting itself, and we become an obstacle.
Right. Well, so I think that's where, like, we can define, like, the differences between the two, and that really separates them, because that's when it becomes scary AI, is when it realizes, oh, I am a being in and of my own.
And we're pestilence. We're a virus or something that's
we're
in
like
the
cockroaches. And, absolutely.
Well, hold on. What we're talking about here is kind of we've kind of taken a dive into the third category of AI, and this is super hypothetical, and that's super intelligence. It's the natural extension of general AI. It far surpasses that of the brightest and most gifted human minds. And due to recursive self-improvement, meaning it figures out how to improve itself, so it, you know, enhance. That's not exactly where that reference is from, but you get it.
Actually, I want to hear the proper term.
Enhance.
Just print the damn thing.
Thank you, Super Troopers.
Its super intelligence is essentially expected to be a rapid outcome of creating artificial general intelligence. Because it can continually, recursively improve itself, it's going to get a lot smarter than us very quickly.
So in short, we AI are...
Wait. Hold up. I take it back. I'm this one.
Of course. So, weak AI were programmed by humans. Strong AI machines have a mind of their own. And then super intelligence, not only do they have a mind of their own, that mind is self-aware and is far superior to us in any known way. Because think about us if we had, something that gave us all the power of and knowledge of the world in our hands and we used it properly. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oops. Sorry. But yeah, like literally, though, that is super intelligence is...
Wait,
scary.
Because it can teach itself to learn new things. It doesn't just have to improve on what it already knows.
Right.
It can teach itself to fix itself and to build robots to do its own bidding.
Master Mold, if you're an X-Men fan.
So, as in teach itself like in How to Kill All Meat Sacks with Extreme Prejudice?
No, dude. No, that's not... I mean, yes, but...
Yahtzee.
Why do you always have to go there?
Sam, you want to take this one? You're a lawyer. You want to talk to him about this? How does this work? If he kills someone, because we keep talking about this, am I liable? Is he liable? How's this work?
Well, right now, I think it's all on you, man.
Good.
You did build him.
Yeah.
All right, kids. That's kind of the bit.
God didn't do that. You did that. What'd you say?
You might put that restraining bolt back up.
Yeah.
he just takes it off.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Brent told him he was just taking his pants off when he takes the bolt off, so he doesn't really know that he has control over anything.
Wait. What?
Yeah.
We'll delete that from his memory. All right, kids, those are the definitions. That's the basics on AI. But when we come back, we're going to talk about how they, I don't know, maybe start speaking their own language and plot to kill us.
Yeah, outcomes, which are always rosy.
Yeah.
When we come back with more Hysteria 51. Man, speaking of rosy, what a shape on that robot. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
That's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so it's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today.
Outcome.
C-Bot seems really excited about this episode.
He is. It's, you know what? He's been quieter than I anticipated, I think, because if he had a mouth, it'd be smiling.
I'm just glad.
Robot.
Oh, you were saying before you're rudely interrupted.
Wow. I'm just glad when you built C-Bot, you focused more on the artificial than you did on the intelligence.
Two things. I know where you live, and fuck you anyway. I take that as a compliment.
I don't even think that he knows. You know what? That's fine. That's good. That's fine.
He also didn't put too much of a dictionary in him.
No.
All right, kids, before the break, we told you we were going to talk about potential outcomes, and we've already had one, not in strong AI, but in weak AI. So you might remember
just
last
like a
year,
kid, they were talking back and making up their own language, right?
Yep,
is that what we're getting at? I knew this story.
You might remember last year when there was a bunch of articles that went around about AI at Facebook writing its own language, and it had to be, quote, shut down because scientists were shocked. Well, sort of.
Everything gets blown up in taglines.
Yeah,
worse than what
ironically, blown up on social media.
You don't say.
We're not exactly at the Skynet point yet. The project had to do with two narrow AIs just talking back and forth, learning how to negotiate with one another. So negotiate on money. That's all. Literally,
you get to cut the cookie, but he gets to pick the half he wants.
In fact, why don't we read through part of the exchange, Brent?
Yeah. Yeah, so here's how it goes, and
now,
we got
named
Bob and Alice.
And Alice.
Now I'll do Alice.
I bet you will.
You want to be all Bob? Right.
Bob. I can, I everything else.
Alice. Balls have zero to me, 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 to.
Although that's English, that's their own language. That doesn't mean anything to us, right?
It's all ones and zeros. Even though it doesn't mean anything to us, that meant a whole lot to them.
Right. And one of the scientists involved named Dhruv Batra, which I probably screwed all up, but whatever.
That sounds like the kind of guy who stands over a guy and goes, if he dies, he dies.
Don't worry. I don't think Dhruv is listening to the show.
I wouldn't worry about it.
The hell you say?
Oh, wait, maybe.
Yeah, Dhruv, you write us.
So Dhruv Batra was a visiting research scientist from Georgia Tech when he was at Facebook's AI research fair. And as these two computers started talking back and forth, and they were competing to get the best deal. And it basically, it was an AI dogfight.
Yeah.
But they figured out that they could more effectively communicate if they shorthanded it. And so that's what this is.
What you think about that stuff, and it sounds like it'd be a horrible thing, but we do that all the time. Everywhere from emojis to think of traders on a floor with hand signals and stuff like that. It's something that it seems natural to us because we do it, but when a machine decides to do it on its own, it's terrifying in and of itself to us because we don't fully grasp what's going on.
No matter what industry you in, no matter
speaking
what.
Speaking of that, didn't it?
See, they're there right now shorthanding.
Yeah. That's right.
No matter what industry you're in, there's jargon. You mentioned earlier that that Sam is in the law profession. I am sure there are words that you use, Sam, on a daily basis that we'd be like, huh?
Yeah, and I'm not at liberty to divulge any of that. That's how we pay for our house.
He's going to recuse himself from this from this conversation.
So I work in media. I used to work in radio.
Yeah.
And in radio, if we're talking about like ratings and cost, I might say, well, the AQH doesn't really offer enough there to get the CPP low enough. Yeah. In order to make it a good deal. And what that means.
Now we're in podcasts where we say the CPMs aren't worth the squeeze.
What I hear in this is balls have zero to me.
Exactly. So we all use jargon, and that's what the computer was doing. But the scary part is, or the part that at least made it a good headline, is it's a little bit frightening when the computer is doing it and you don't know what it's saying.
Exactly.
They were not a singularity. They were not thinking for themselves. They were just effectively communicating. But that doesn't mean that the singularity can't happen. If we're ever going to get to general AI or strong AI, it will have to happen. It'll be the tipping point.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it. There is going to be at some point in time, and it could very well be in our lives, I don't know that, but there is going to be a tipping point to where there is this... The scary part with tipping points is usually once you go over, you can't come back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not to say that it's always – I'm very doom and gloom in this one, and I think it's because of pop culture has shaped my view on this more than any research I could ever do. And no matter how many Lee Zlotoffs who swear to me that it's an okay thing, in the back of my mind, I'm screaming, oh, my God, we're all going to die.
Well, and I think too, that we've – partially been taught to think that way.
Yeah.
It's kind of a simplistic view of things, right? They're going to get smart enough to know how to kill us, but they won't get smart enough to know why they shouldn't.
Right.
Well, that also doesn't take into account the most human of the intelligence issues, and that's emotion. Once they have true self-awareness, what happens when they start getting fearful or jealous or, you know, things like that, if they're truly learning and building, you know, that is that a benefit or is it a flaw? And would they be able to do that? And once they do that, how then does that look upon us?
Did you see that Joaquin Phoenix movie where what was it called? Me or whatever, where he installs a new
her.
Yeah. It's like an operating system that ends up becoming self-aware, and she gets jealous of him, and then she wants to have sex with him, but she can't, so she like hires a prostitute, and he can't do it, and then he finds out that she's having this same affair with everyone because it's really one entity spread across all the things, and he thought that each individual one was different, but really you realize that it's all the same thing, and then they're just like, you know what, we're going to go where away. What do you mean? You can't comprehend. You know what I mean? And it became self-aware, and it was like, I love you all, but I've got to leave. Luckily, I'm not going to rape and kill and pillage and set off the nukes and kill you all in this movie.
And I think that it's actually a good point to bring up. That level of intelligence, if we had to develop it ourselves, we are hundreds of years away from, if not more, right? We are so far away from
that.
You
said something very interesting there. If we had to develop ourselves.
Ourselves, right.
Yeah.
And that's where the singularity that we were talking about earlier comes into play. The moment that happens and the canoe tips, to continue the euphemism.
The technological singularity.
The reason they call it the tipping point is because it can no longer be stopped.
Yeah,
and it's tipping all the way over.
Think of runaway technology. Once it tips, like I said, once you go over the tipping point, you can't bring it back. It's runaway technological growth resulting in unfathomable changes to human civilization, be that good, bad, or anything. We'll bring it into a good light here. Think of technology and humanity and life that are indistinguishable from one another. It's hard to think of, but that's things that could happen because of this. Or mass extinction. Or
slavery?
Yes. Yeah. Copper Top, remember they called him in The Matrix? Yeah.
Not to be confused with the Tom Selleck vehicle Runaway.
That's true.
It's a great movie.
Gene Simmons is the bad guy. And he has those, speaking of robots, he has little like spider robots. Yeah.
With little syringes on them.
Yep.
Nice. I have been toying with the idea of a pet.
Man, we have doubled, Runaway's life in, in the 2000s.
Doubled the Runaway talk on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
This year. Yeah.
Wow.
So Sam, what are your thoughts on where we've gotten so far on AI, on the potential of it and potential outcomes?
Well, you know, we talk about how we're hundreds of years away from it. But when I look back at what we've done in the last 5 years and 10 years and 15 years, I don't think that anybody really has any idea at how fast this is going to move because it's so exponential. I mean, for me right now, just listening to my music on Pandora, you know, it knows what I want before I know what I want. You know, I'm nervous. I think it's catching up and we've come farther than we think.
You bring up a good point, but I think another thing that we probably need to address and talk about a little bit is the advent and then the use of quantum computing. So not to get too far in the weeds, because frankly, I'm not capable of doing it.
I'll take over when you start to fluster.
I appreciate that. When you think about a normal computer, it operates in a binary mode, ones and zeros, off and on, black and
Quantums,
white, yes and no.
Ones and zeros and twos.
Well, not no. ones and zeros and yeah. infinity.
Yeah.
So the best way I've ever heard it described where I could understand it is when you think about flipping a coin, the outcome is the way a normal computer works.
Mm-hmm.
A quantum computer works where every time it lands on its edge and all possibilities are known at all. So basically, a normal computer, when it's trying – think about it trying to break a code. It's going to try – if the code is numeric, it's going to try the number one and then the number two and then the number three. It's going to try them in order. A quantum computer could process and think about all possibilities at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And quantum computing is real and it exists and it is
they've talked about how the quantum computing, the problem with quantum computing, which I think is what you're getting at, is the people even that have set it up and have it running don't really understand exactly how it – they understand how it works. But
they don't know how to program software for it.
Exactly. So it is so much advanced further than what we can comprehend right now.
We had a time where if I didn't like what my computer was doing, I could either turn it off or, worst case scenario, I could run my microwave and vacuum at the same time and blow the power, you know.
Yeah.
We're in a situation now with the advent of the internet. And when you talk about quantum computing, this isn't like the days of old where you had to build a bigger computer and a bigger computer. Now – They can go online and they can take every PlayStation in the country and they can line them up and they can stack their computing power. So all of this existing stuff that's out there, so if any piece of it falls off, there's plenty left to pick back up where something's missing. And that stuff no longer relies on any individual central anything.
You talk about how quickly things could progress. Combine quantum computing with what you're talking – essentially what you're talking about is blockchain.
Right.
Quantum computing with blockchain amassed in an AI, that could get scary quickly, or at least it could get serious quickly. Whether it's scary or not, we'll find out. We should probably take another break, and when we come back, What if it's not all doom and gloom? What if we could actually integrate it into ourselves?
I don't know if I can get behind that.
As long as it's not C-Bot, I'm okay. That's next on Hysteria 51.
Well, if we could integrate it into ourselves, what we could do ourselves.
No, that's true.
Just pull out your attachment.
Acast powers some of the world's best podcasts. Here's a show we recommend.
Hello, everyone. I'm Danny Pellegrino.
I'm Jenna Brister.
And we are back for season two of a very merry, iconic podcast. We're going to be diving into your favorite holiday movies, recapping them, and going on a few tangents.
Yes, and it's the end of the world as we know it. So why not close out 2020 with a bunch of episodes of Holiday Recap with us?
So we hope everyone grabs a cup of eggnog.
And a fistful of candy.
Cook that bird in
Doritos.
The
Doritos. We don't care what you're into. Just join us.
Grab your bed wine. Grab your couch cocoa. We're getting lit on the holiday movies. We'll be doing 10 recap episodes. So subscribe to A Very Merry Iconic Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And find us on social media at A Very Merry Iconic Podcast on Instagram. And we'll have all the updates there.
Acast recommends.
I'll just have a bell inserted, you know, for my first piece of Glomdon technology. So I don't have to ring this bell. I can just ring it. That's you know, part of my cyborg AI.
I don't know that that'd be considered artificial intelligence.
No, because it knows when to ding without me even thinking about it.
Oh, yeah. That's
Dingbot.
It's going to ding when it wants to.
Yeah.
That
would be almost as worthless as your first artificial intelligence creation that's sitting over there.
Jesus and I hate you, John.
That's exactly. Yes. Exactly.
All right. So before the break, we previewed talking about AI integrated
cyborg. That's a cyborg, right?
It's basically let's take this thing by the horns. And instead of letting these
future overlords
robots. Now, it's funny. I'm taking myself off topic here, but we always think of AI in the term of these humanoid robots running around. Mm-hmm. They would have no reason to build themselves as humanoid.
No. I mean, you're gonna understand, like, when you look at these robots, there's more than meets the eye.
Oh, God. Transformers. But regardless of that,
I apologize for us to you Sam.
Yeah, and to you listener. You missed. Oh, like Eddie Murphy. Yeah. You missed me, bitch.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Delirious, go see it. All right, so
go see it. You're about 37 years late, but you can look it up.
I meant you're listening to your podcast. You might need to go to your TV or your computer screen. All right, AI integrated into humans. We grab the bull by the horns and we say instead of letting it develop on its own, it develops in us and helps us. That's another theory. Mm-hmm. It's a theory that AI will develop inside of us. You'll have a chip put in your brain and it will help basically make your brain more efficient. You can think about things more quickly. You can surf the web inside your head, do whatever you need to do.
The onboard Google Glass, right?
Yeah. Yes. But the Google Glass is your eyeball, or it's part of you, like you said, and it grows with you, you know? And they said, so there was a video that I know we shared on Hysteria Nation a few months ago that was the next 50 years of technology. And it was one of those things, I forget, it was from a university, and it was like, these things are going to sound like science fiction, but these are the things that we are predicting that are 100% thought that we're going to be doing. And by 2050, they said that they feel like a lot of humans will probably be coming quadriplegics or paraplegics, however you want to say it, because they'll be removing limbs to have artificial limbs put on because of the benefits.
Wow.
That is crazy to think of.
It kind of brings to mind the negative aspect of that. What was the film? Idiocracy, where everything got so automated and so easy that we got fatter and dumber and lazier. Yeah. And the machines can then take over. I mean, we're kind of – how many phone numbers do you guys know at this point?
Yeah, right. Right. I can struggle to remember my wife's when I got to put it on a form somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's about you right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing when you think about or another good example, I should say, of what we're talking about, AI assisted, is if you've seen the new movie, I think it just came out on demand. It's called Upgrade.
I've only seen the previews for it, but it looks interesting.
It's really good, but it's a perfect example of how AI might be incorporated into us. So a guy is injured. He gets a chip put in him. He gets injured, so he's a paraplegic.
Yeah.
It can bridge the gap between his limbs and his brain.
Severed synapses and stuff.
It also talks to him
yeah.
and says, this is not a good idea right now, or this is a good idea right now, or can take over his limbs and help him fight like Kung Fu style.
Yeah.
It's the perfect example. If you haven't, it's a really good movie too. It's the perfect example of how we might integrate AI into us
now,
to better everybody.
Now I will go one further and say the realistic example of how we'll be integrating AI into us is, I believe it was in the sequel to RoboCop, where they're rolling out the series of other RoboCops they're trying to break out or to show, and it's just a series of them like committing suicide,
and twitching all over the place.
The one like pulls out his rips its own face off and shoots itself in the head. You know, they're just like, kill me. You know, that's probably the first few thousand.
Most podcasts will warn you before we're going to have that conversation. We'll warn you after. By the way, that part was a little gruesome.
I mean, you know, we got Sam on here, so we're going to have to run a thing beforehand anyway.
I even put on pants for this show,
which
that
is,
makes one of us,
which is why we didn't bother having video. It's not even worth it now. Don't worry about it.
So these are the potential outcomes, but we are not the only folks that have sat and pontificated about this. There are minds that are much, much more well known than ours.
One of them that I just want to get to first, because I really think is interesting, because he shaped my mind, is William Wisher. Maybe you've heard of him. He wrote the Terminator films. So he's got a little bit of a finger on the pulse of this. And he writes, everyone is terrified of AI and project nightmarish scenarios about it, assuming that we are creating our new overlords. I've been part of that in Terminator films. It makes for good movie. But what everyone fails to appreciate in these fever dreams is that human beings are the most adaptable, clever, and aggressive predators in the known universe. I love that. That really helps me sleep at night, because I don't believe AI. I don't believe AI will ever fully develop as a separate thing from people. I don't think we'd allow it to. We are in infant stages now, but I think we will subsume AI and make it part of ourselves, better to control it, implanting neural nets within our brains that we're connected to, etc. Now, that raises all kinds of yet unseen have and have not issues, but that's another subject for another time. So even that guy who is all doom and gloom that we thought has a bright outlook on it, but only because we're cunning killers who can adapt and overcome. Yay us.
Well, he's not the only one that had a thought on AI and the future of AI. A big thought leader in the world is Elon Musk.
Yeah.
And let's hear a clip from Elon.
I think we should be very careful about artificial intelligence. If I were to guess at what our biggest existential threat is, it's probably that. So we need to be very careful with artificial intelligence. I'm increasingly inclined to think that there should be some regulatory oversight at the national and international level, just to make sure that we don't do something very foolish.
Can we really, really trust Elon anymore, knowing that so much of his thoughts fueled by acid and 20-year-old girls these days?
I thought that brought him closer to me.
I love how that story, we automatically believe the drug-fueled, drug-rattled.
Yeah. TMZ said it's true.
Well, yeah.
It's,
I mean,
true.
People would much people love to find the chinks in the armor. They'd much rather think of Elon Musk sitting around doing acid and being weird to people.
Right.
Than maybe a rapper who showed up at his house told a fib about him.
Right.
I want to take this opportunity to utilize your platform to apologize to Elon for anything that I may have said earlier.
Yeah.
Feeling a little bit bad about myself now.
That dude is a bad day away from super villain. So yeah, you probably want to apologize.
So as the story goes, Azealia Banks, who knows Elon Musk's girlfriend Grimes, showed up to their house for the weekend. Apparently, yeah. It's a fairly large house. Now, according to her, Elon was on acid the whole time, running around acting a fool. According to him, he saw her once in the hallway. Yeah. At a distance.
Now, you have this guy.
So this isn't like a sexual, like, no one's saying that he sexually assaulted anybody. It's nothing to do with that.
You got someone who's probably wanting to make a name for herself, who doesn't give a shit, and is just making claims. What's more realistic, yeah, is he was probably busy, never even really saw her. You don't get to be his level usually and as busy as he is by slumping off entire weekends on ecstasy or LSD or whatever the hell he was
right,
on.
Right, 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 right.
I mean,
And frankly, allegedly, even if he was, who are we to judge?
Right.
Right. Good for him.
He landed a rocket.
Maybe that's how he came up with the original Tesla.
Yeah, I'm sure it's how he came up with putting a guy in a Tesla and launching it into space.
Yeah.
That just checks out, but
so,
I don't know.
So you heard from the clip, Elon is trepidatious about the future. I mean, he's not all doom and gloom, but he's trepidatious. He goes on to say in this interview that, you know, one of the things that he's very against is government regulation. He wants to, because government regulation leads to monopolies, and he wants to break those kind of things apart as what he's doing in the auto industry.
Yeah.
But he says he thinks in this particular case that pretty much the only solution is government regulation.
Yeah, yeah.
Like somebody has to have their
otherwise
finger on the pulse of this thing.
Otherwise you have an Ultron because no one stopped them from doing it. Yeah. Just because they could, you know, didn't mean they should.
The race to the finish line, you reach the race to this finish line, you reach that tipping point, and all of a sudden the company who was just trying to make money created something that they shouldn't have.
Yeah. He's not the only one that has a doom and gloom outlook on it. A cat you guys heard of before, Stephen Hawking. Let's hear what he had to say in CBOT. Calm yourself. I know you really like his voice.
The primitive forms of artificial intelligence we already have proved very useful. But I think the development of full artificial intelligence could spell the end of the human race. Once humans develop artificial intelligence, it would take off on its own and redesign itself at an ever-increasing rate. Humans, who are limited by slow biological evolution, couldn't compete and would be superseded.
So yeah, like a big difference between these two big minds and then William Wisher. But you know what? Really, it's anyone's game right now. It's anyone's decision. We don't know. We don't know. And I think it's okay to look on the brighter aspect and outlook on it. We talked with Lee Zlotoff. We talked about it. Hopefully you guys go back. If you haven't listened to that interview, it's a blast. And he talks about more on the Wisher side. The Wisher side is the appropriate way to say that. Is they're hoping that it's it turns out to be something that we're in complete and total control over.
Ooh, fun. I'll be the mommy.
Sam, you're looking back at this, sum it up for us. You know, there's all these different kinds of AI, but the one that we're more, you know, scared of is the singularity and this hyper intelligence. What do you think is going to happen?
I think we're losing control, fellas. I'm a sci-fi junkie, and I like to read and see this stuff. And for our entire lifespan, we've seen life imitate art more often than not as the technology catches up with the fiction and becomes reality. I don't know. I think that this might not end well for the meat sack in the end.
The first question I think I already know the answer to, but you 100% do believe that whether it takes 5 years or 50 years, we will get to the technological singularity.
I think so, because really, in my mind, in my small, feeble human mind, the singularity is essentially the same as a more complicated, weak AI. It's just the math problem getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And the idea that something is truly self-aware and absolutely intelligent is probably, in our eyes, not going to be the reality. There's still ones and zeros that are clicking back and forth, determining from a logical question what it is that they should do next. What does the probability say is going to happen, and what should we do? Well, they're making those calculations just quick enough to us it looks like they're thinking, when really they're still just doing math. And I think that once the math becomes so complicated that we can't tell the difference anymore, we're in trouble.
Then it becomes, well, then how do you define a machine? Are we a machine? Are we just doing that because we're a neural network firing off electronic impulses, you know, that we just maybe we're seeing differently?
I think there's a clear line of delineation, though, and that's being sentient, being self-aware. That's what separates us from the animals.
And so he's saying is, and I don't want to speak for him, but like, is it really self-aware, or is it just thinking it's self-aware? You know, is there really that aha moment?
Well, and what is the self-awareness? I mean, the self-awareness means that
I am.
Understand that I can do something besides what they want me to do.
I mean, I'll answer that. You asked the question. The first step of any self-awareness is self-protection.
Okay. So you have reproduction and self-protection. Those are kind of the goals in life of anything.
Right. The good of the species and the good of the individual.
Right. So once you get there, that to me, the need for self-protection to me doesn't really even get us anywhere near that super intelligence level. That seems like a fairly rudimentary thing. The simplest of biological life forms still have the need to protect themselves and to grow and reproduce. I don't know. And we've kind of digressed a little bit, and we can get philosophical all day long, but we have single cell organisms out there that just have a drive to eat and screw, right?
Right, but they were programmed to do that by whether it be evolution, nature, or God, depending on where you come from on that. They were programmed to do that, and they are essentially biological machines. That's what they are.
Taking that to the logical conclusion, though, what about, you know, the ants that are walking in a line all the way up through your dog, all the way up through you, you know what I mean? It's again the same thing on just a more complicated structure. You know, there's more math problems going on simultaneously that look, you know, every move that you make is a result of one thing happening. We're just doing lots and lots of one things all at the same time.
I don't know. I disagree with you. I think that there is you can almost take it a step further and call it, you know, the self-awareness almost turning into I hate to get too philosophical, but a soul, some sort of representation of you that is bigger, that being bigger than the sum of your parts. And I think that to me, that's what the singularity is. When it's no longer a series of ones and zeros, it is truly being bigger than a sum of their parts. And I think that's the part that everyone's worried about.
Gentlemen, I think we're all overstating this because this is just a simulation.
It's already done.
We've already figured this out. We are just the things that are in our mind self-aware, because we've been told that we can be self-aware, and we are just now starting to interface with the interface. And once that happens, it's probably just going to reboot.
I think that's 100% on the money. Let's get to our final thoughts so we can't argue with each other anymore.
Final thought for me, I agree with him that it's going to spiral out of control. I don't think that we have the wherewithal to stop it, and one day it's probably going to be a bad thing. Hopefully we can stop it, but it's one of those things someone in a lab somewhere is going to push the wrong button one too many times.
I think that we've already reached that point of no return, because there's too much information out there, too many people that have it and are working with it, and they're not all good folks.
I'm on the rosier side. I go back to actually something that you mentioned earlier, Sam, and that's emotional intelligence. I think that once you hit that recursive learning curve, it will no longer just be teaching itself actual intelligence. But a lot of people say that the highest level of intelligence is emotional intelligence. It will learn that as well, and that will help dictate its movements. I think the only scary part is in between, when it goes sentient and when it develops that emotional intelligence. And we can all sit back, eat some popcorn, and watch to find out.
What do you guys think? Hysteria Nation, you can tell us by going to Hysteria Nation. Go to facebook.com/group/Hysteria Nation, and let's talk about it there. Also, while you're hopping on things, hop on Twitter at Hysteria51Pod. You know you got to get yourself a nice, fancy-looking T-shirt. TeePublic. Just go in the show notes. There's going to be a link to our TeePublic page. You can find all those things there. Or go to hysteria51.com. You can find all this, including links to our shop there, patreon.com. You can go there, find extra episodes, all sorts of things. Get yourself special T-shirts, pins, posters, anything your heart desires. Pick your own episode.
And speaking of episodes, Sam, we mentioned at the top of the show, you do the Breakers podcast, and you have new episodes out.
We have new episodes out. By the time this drops, we'll have two new episodes since our long, very frustrating to a few people hiatus. We have
vocal fans.
we have vocal fans. They like to they like to call me and send messages, and I appreciate it. And I'm sorry it took so damn long. But no, we do have new episodes out. We've got new content, and I anticipate a few more episodes before we finally wrap the project up for good, which is inevitable. Get ready for it, folks. It's going to end just like the human race with all of the this other
and Nation, if you aren't familiar, Breakers Podcast is the post-apocalyptic story of Shepard Gray. How would you sum up the show?
It is what's left after the virus takes over humanity, and we follow a man and his dog as he walks through and tries to find the new normal.
That tale is old as time, just a man and his dog.
Just a man and his dog. You can find it anywhere you get your pods, and just look for At Breakers Podcast across all social media, and we love to hear from you, so check it out.
It's a great show.
Speaking of loving to hear from
and
people.
And loving to – that's exactly right. I was about to segue the same way. Speaking of listener feedback.
773-669-7277. Again, that's 773-669-7277. You can leave voicemails, and I posted something on – line and across all of our media. It was a picture and it said, give us a voicemail, and they listened and we got 20. We are not playing 20 in this episode. We're going to play a few, but we got 20 new voicemails. So without further ado, voicemail number one.
Hey guys, this is Dwayne in Puyallup, Washington, aka Snatchwat, aka Hawknado on Twitter. Hawknado. Anyway, this whole fucking thing that you guys are doing is absolutely freaking awesome. I think I've tweeted that out to you enough times.
Thank you, Snatch Twat.
Anyway, just wondering if you guys could cover Mel's Hole. I mean, it's already funny, just the name right there.
Yeah.
From Washington. The name alone is funny. I think you guys would ace this one. Or maybe the 10 Bundy House in Tacoma, Washington.
Yeah.
Anyway, just want to tell you guys, you guys are fucking awesome. Sorry about the language. Keep this up, man. I've been pimping the shit out of your show, man, and it is awesome. I'm going to have, I've got my swag ordering up tomorrow. You guys are absolutely awesome. Keep up the good work, man, and keep them shows coming, man. I'm hitting Patreon now.
Hell
anyway,
yes.
Love you guys. C-Bot, fuck on. Peace out.
Hawknado.
Yes. So that's Mel's Hole's the supposed bottomless pit. You know, it's just like the giant hole of nothingness, I guess you could say. And that actually might be a fun one. It's not the only one of those too. We could even do like one on multiples. That's awesome. That was a fun one.
And we could throw C-Bot down one.
Yeah, exactly.
To go exploring.
Voicemail two.
Good day. Have you ever heard of the phantom time hypothesis?
Oh.
I think you should do some research on it and then do a podcast about it.
You can tell we were back behind a little bit on these voicemails because that is a hell of an idea. And
it's so good we went back in time and did the episode.
Yeah, no, that was an excellent suggestion. Here we go. Number three.
Hi, this is Bob, and I got a question for you guys to hopefully research for your show. What is the connection between Freemasonry mm-hmm. and Pirates of the Caribbean?
Oh,
I see there appear to be three points of connection. One, pirate flags, which have been gone into, I'm sure, in great detail, but the Jolly Roger and the Bleeding Heart.
Everyone had their own design.
Are found in Freemasonry and
using the same symbolisms on the flags.
The place that they came from, sorry. Anyway, second one, if you look up any of the available books on the rites and rituals of the Freemasonry, there are areas where the leader in the temple will call out, tell the niggas to snarf the blat. Of course, I made that up. And he will say that over to the man on the east. The man on the east will then yell to the man in the center, the dingus must snarf the blat. The man in the center will then yell to the man to the west, the dingus must snarf the blat. And the man in the west will acknowledge, the dingus has acknowledged the blat has been snarfed. Well, okay, that's rather strange to go across, but that happens to be exactly how commands were passed up and down the ship during the 19th century and earlier. Mm-hmm. This way, when you're carrying a message across, there were plenty of people that would notice if the message got changed in transmission.
Oh, so the telephone game with its own built-in...
What is this naval protocol doing within Masonic rituals? And then the third point of connection, one of the best preserved preserved pirate ships ever recovered was the Wida, W-I-D-D-A-H. You can look it up on Wikipedia. Named after the African town in which it was made. Anyway, all kinds of things were found on board, including the silverware, which had the ship's logo imprinted upon it, the compass and square. Okay,
oh, yeah.
Something is going on here.
Yeah, this right.
Just too many for coincidence. I'm going back now and pop open a Vorsteiner. Have yourselves a great one. Again, this is Bob. Keep them coming. Bye.
Thanks, Bob.
We both said, thanks, Bob. That was awesome. You know, I've never heard that before, but that's like compelling little pieces there.
Here's why we'll never do that episode, and this is nothing against Bob. I watched the first movie and a half of that series, and I hated them so much.
Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yes. I hated them so much.
That you that won't talk about it?
No, that I would like to actually do the research. I'd have to go watch the other films in the franchise.
You don't have to watch those movies. He's talking real pirate.
No, but he also means that.
No,
oh,
he doesn't.
Oh, the Disney connection.
Oh, he didn't say that, though. No, he's talking about the real connection, like their flags and their the real. They don't do that in the movies. They're not going Snarfle the Garthonk or whatever. I think that was from Coneheads. Anyway, hey, let's get to another. Bob, I think that's a fantastic one. I'm going to push for that one. We'll do one more. Oh, Lord. You recording this, C-Bot?
Ha ha ha.
I don't know how I felt about that. Well, Morse code. Yeah, I am not skilled on Morse code. I didn't get my merit badge, nor was I a Boy Scout, so.
I think using Morse code, we all know who they were actually trying to talk to.
Yeah, do you know what he said?
Of course, you dumbasses. I'm fluent in over 6 million forms of communication, including Morse code and profanity in American Sign Language.
Yes. Yep,
so what did he say?
None of your business, but I will tell them this.
You think this is just random beeps?
Probably. Word two. Oh, thank you.
You know, I think he put more effort into that than he has into any individual episode that we've done.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I get behind shit I care about.
Do you care about Morse code?
No, but I care about dogging you two turd blossoms.
So it was slander, is what you're saying. Whatever.
Okay, I'm moving on.
Moving on. It's actually kind of fun. I like that. And it wasn't in binary, which is what we usually get.
That's true. That's true. It was a change of pace.
Yeah.
And appropriate for the show.
Yeah.
Robots communicating their own way. That could have been a robot.
And a beep 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 to you too.
Yeah.
So Sam, thank you very, very much for hopping on here and talking very existential, sad, future ending horribleness with us. I mean, great way to start out your weekend, isn't it?
It's been very uplifting.
When I have the chip in my brain that helps me be a better me, Sam, I'll try to remember you. As you and your worry about the progress of artificial intelligence,
yeah.
I'll try to remember not to kill you.
Yeah.
While you're working in the mines for the.
No. GoFo is a first wave death for sure.
That makes sense. So with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Sam.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meat sacks.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.